Everyone, please take your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to ask you a question. It's game day, are you ready? Now you're probably thinking I'm thinking of the Super Bowl, but I'm really not, but we will be referring to it. As you turn to Acts chapter 2, and we think about game day, this is really Peter's message for us this morning as well. You wouldn't have thought it would have come from Peter's sermon in Acts 2. By the way, the first sermon preached in a church, That was when the church was established, and here's the first sermon. And I love the song selection, whether Dan realized it or not, because the idea was that the very center of the message of the church began with what we believe in the gospel of Christ and who he is. Death, burial, resurrection, and the call. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you all those who are part of the worship team. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21, we're going to look at and read here right now, coming from God's word. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and the fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, as we come to your word this morning for a few moments, pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts through your word, and may the truth of this gospel penetrate all of our lives. If there's someone here today that does not have that personal relationship with the Father through the Son, our prayer is that you would be pleased and glorified by your very character of grace and mercy. Would you call them to yourself? And help us who know you to be called closer on this game day. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first part here, Peter's quoting from Joel, of course. He has two purposes. One, he's showing basically that there's a partial fulfillment of God's plan for the church has already taken place. We have this pouring out of the Spirit that's already begun, and those here were witnesses. They would have seen this, and even though some did not believe it, the evidence and the facts were there anyway. Now, the full quote of Joel is an anticipation of what is to come. He's not saying at that time, well, look up there, the moon's dark, or it's bloody, and the skies, and he's basically giving, this is what has happened, we're in this process of giving the day of the Lord, and it's coming, and the future is here, and the Lord is coming. So he's kind of giving an introduction. That large section is kind of an introduction to his big idea, which is simply this: are you ready for game day? Now, he doesn't say game day. Are you ready? Bring him into what he wants to say a little bit later. So he's going to give us some kind of three ways to be ready. And the first one here that jumps right out to us is this idea is that we need to seek truth. We need to speak truth. So Peter seeks truth and speaks truth to challenge the doubt of those here who said, these guys are just drunk. The problem was, of course, Peter says, what are you talking about? It's 9 a.m. in the morning. It's not going to most likely happen. That's not what this is all about. So he challenges them, and he speaks from the prophet Joel. So he's speaking truth about Jesus Christ and giving facts about that. When we think about the game tonight, I'm going to go back and forth quite a bit. One of the things that the team spend a lot of time and money on getting ready is by collecting facts on each other, right? They want to know as much as they can about the other team. They've got stats for everything. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know which sport is worse. I think baseball has got, they probably spend millions of dollars on batters, you know, if it's on the third Monday of the fourth month of the year and the sun's shining and the wind's blowing at 14 miles an hour. He has a tendency to, whatever, they got. I guarantee you they had the same thing with this Chiefs. Again, who's the other team? Oh, 49ers. Sorry, 49ers fans. I'll give you an example, okay? I'm going to give you a report from one of the players. I'm not going to tell you his name, but see if you can recognize who it is, all right? So, strengths of this particular player. They were collecting facts. It's a scouting report. He has a zest for blocking and physical clashes. Well, that could be a lot of people. He's one of the strongest blocking tight ends in the 2-13 class. He's a good enough pass catcher that he tends to lead his team in receiving. He can lead block in the running game and has the power to bend to anchor against the passing. As a receiver, has a terrific length and very good straight line speed with reliable hands. He's a prototype two-way tight end who can also play H-back and line up in the slot. But here's his weaknesses. X plays with a pedal to the metal, which isn't always a good thing. He doesn't run as wide or swift as others, but does run a variety of routes. He doesn't display a sudden or sharp break in his routes, but has a few routes that are tailor-made for him for his size and great hands. Who is it? It's not Taylor Swift, sorry. Travis, yeah, Travis Kelce. I had a little hint for the rest of you, but I thought all the girls 14 and under would get it right away. Anyway, so Peter is what he's doing a scouting report, so to speak. He's already collected truth and the facts. He just deals with facts. And this is really a great foundational message for all of us. You know, there are a lot of ways that we could defend the faith, and I think we should learn, you know, what are the arguments and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's about the foundational truths of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit that changes lives of people. Not because you're really good. Giving a scout. As well, and he walks through some of the things that most of them. And so here he is giving these powerful truths. And this first sermon in the New Testament, this is what it covers. It covers God, sin, the cross. And that's it. And that's what he lays. Seeking and speaking and knowing this truth is central to being successful in the game. It is vital. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? If you don't know the truth, all the play calling you're doing right now in your life, the decisions you're making, they're going to most likely slowly lead you away from a relationship with God that you need to have. So the Christian Super Bowl team seeks to know the truth. They seek to know Christ and to know more about him and seek after it. So one of the first charges to the church Peter gives to us here as we are getting ready for game day, he says, look, you got to be ready. How do you be ready? You got to seek the truth. You got to speak the truth. You got that? You got to get your scouting report right, or you're going to have a very bad game day. And for a Christian, game day is every day. So we need to know that. So that's important. That's why we really do push, knowing the Lord's word, Bible studies, Sunday schools, all these other things that help us know the word of God. Why? Because we're helping you, we're helping ourselves become better players for Christ. But it's not just that. The second thing we see is that we get ourselves and others ready for the coming of Christ by judging correctly. Discernment. So there's a lot of yes, it is. He turned around and he faced. nothing to do. We don't want that to happen. In his limit, by culture, and may I say, but here we have Peter helping us out, that only faith in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ will bring you salvation. Oh, well, I'm not. So I'm going to try to bring one in. Not really. But we want. cruising on down their life and enjoying the blessings of God of this nation, watching it all go by. That has never been the call of the church, ever. When he said, I want you to go and make disciples, you've heard this before. The word go is a military term, and it has to do with invading enemy territory. That doesn't sound like I want to come back here and pray in my church every week. That's important. That's good. It's invasion. Seek truth, speak truth, have discernment, and that leads to what I've mentioned here, the third aspect, our final aspect this morning, which is play the game. There's been a lot. You think they do? No, it's the spirit. Time to play ball. Got to get on the field. Let's go. So you don't want to let your actions get in the way of your words. I'll say that again. I did say it correctly. I meant to say it that way. Don't let your actions get in the way of your words. Or aren't we good about quoting the Bible or talking spiritual and talking Baptist-ese or Presbyterian-ese or whatever-ese it is, church-ese, Bible-ese, and we don't walk it. The Holy Spirit... And I knew some of it, and so I texted him last night. I said, Doug, you got to send me. You have. This is what she said. She said it was obvious. He was not. That's another story. So the pastor agreed to confront the husband and find out what in the world changed his behavior. So this is what the answer was. The husband had... and help break the perception that men who don't beat their wives are wimps. How is this possible? It's possible because a man came to faith But he didn't stay there. He sought after the truth. He spoke the truth. And after that, he was trying to discern through the Bible. Peter, here this morning, in the first sermon to the church, is saying, if you're going to be ready for game day, you've got to seek truth, speak truth. You've got to know what it is. Well, we know that truth comes from Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that truth comes from this word because even the Lord himself said, thy word is truth. This is our map for life. We find from here, we don't have a little drift and a little bit of these other things that we allow sometimes to influence how we think about relationships and people. We follow the biblical truth, the Word of God. If you don't, you're going to miss the second one. You're going to get deceived easily because it's going to sound Christian, smell like Christian, taste like Christian, but it ain't Christian. You've got to have this work. You got to be able to discern. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's what helped with this Messiah warrior. He got convicted. Whoo, I shouldn't be doing this. And then he had to live it. For you and me today, I want to ask you to do something here. I'm going to ask you to really take a close look at what you're allowing to pour into your life. Are you truly seeking truth, or are you just allowing anybody that quotes anything from any source that must be true because it said it on Google or whatever it is? You need to know the truth. And then you need to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment about what is being said and what isn't being said. Now, a lot of this I would apply not just to culture. I would apply to preaching and teaching. I would encourage each one of you to take the Word of God and whatever I said today, why don't you dig in the Word for yourself? You do know that's your responsibility, right? How many people come to, you don't raise your hand. How many people come to church and say, well, the pastor said it, that must be it? I often thought it'd be a kind of a fun sermon for me. A 10-minute sermon. Now, that would be fun for everybody. But in that 10-minute sermon, I thought, and see if anybody picks up on it. You need discernment. And the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit will help you with that. But don't forget the last part, for that's what changed the tribes. It was when we lived it out. Well, my friend, we have this great gospel. We have this great message. It's time to break huddle, though. It's time to break huddle. It's time to play ball. Every day for a Christian is the Super Bowl. It's game day. Are you ready for it? Our Father in heaven, as we come now and consider your great ways and how you just have been so gracious and patient with us and teaching us to observe all things. Help us to remember your promise that you are with us wherever we go, and that we have been given this charge to be part of this mission to the world. And I know and neither can my brothers and sisters here, but with partnerships, we can reach many. And with all of us working together, we can speak to all. Lord, some of us have sometimes, and I could be guilty of this, of being satisfied with coasting, enjoying the blessings of Christian friends, the encouragement that we can get sometimes from music and or a message. But at the end of the day, we're still kind of huddling. Or we've redefined what it means to play ball. Oh God, I pray that we'll get back to the source of truth, to the Word of God, to the calling that we have, and to realize that we have a mission to make disciples of all nations. That includes the believers, yes, but it also includes interacting with those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to break huddle, to get off the bench, and to get in the game today, knowing that in this game, the score is already determined. The game has already been won. For Christ our Savior, who died on the cross, rose again the third day and destroyed the power and penalty of sin once for all, and offers salvation to all. In Him. May we share that message for the glory of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen.